Live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated, internationally syndicated motorsports show. Brought to you by the award-winning father and son car building team and the hosts of the show, Bubba and Tom.
Isn't that hilarious, folks? That's
going
to go live. We love it live. Good morning, everybody around the world. Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Listen, if you guys just heard not only the amazing intro performed and done by Justin Webb.
Yeah, did a great job, man.
So let's discuss this here for a second. You not only heard the new intro, but you also heard an echo of the intro playing in the background from Hot Rod over here already out of the gate.
Yeah, how about that, man? Sometimes, well, we're working on some of those technical things, Bub.
It's never going to change with you on that one.
Good morning to Vicky. She's out there watching us, Bub. Good morning to the girls, Robin and Layla. They're out there. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Sports.com, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, shop our online catalog with over 20,000 new parts, Bub. Pretty exciting. We have the guys over there at Rainmaker Marketing doing some incredible stuff. We're going to jump in there and talk about that in just a minute, too, man.
Yeah.
Miss Outlaw Boutique, the moose is still loose, although it's now all online, Bub. Everything is converted to an electronic program out there for the latest in Outlaw Boutique accessories and apparel. Visit the Outlaw online, Miss Outlaw Online, right, Bub?
MissOutlawBoutique.com.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Outlaw Boutique. Good morning to Tanya. She's out there watching us as well, Bub. Everybody's out there joining in. Big news here, Bub. We're going to have great guests joining us today from everyday driver Paul and Todd from Velocity's TV show. We are on the new Podcast One platform. This is our second week out there. Huge expansion for us from an entertainment perspective. I'm really proud of that, Bub.
Yeah, man. We're having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, just on the heels of everything else we got going on in terms of, you know, the incredible ride we're designing and building here at BEM, but also, you know, the celebrity rides we're doing, the athletes, the players, you know, just a lot of crazy things going on in the background from a build standpoint, all of the marketing stuff, the new and hottest in products from every major manufacturer in the automotive industry on our website for sale right now. So it's a lot of things going crazy, man, just literally running wide open throttle over here. Yeah,
a lot of sleepless nights with everything that's going on, man. Just really, really good stuff, man. And I want to say thank you to Brian out there over at Rainmaker Marketing, man. He has Brian came in, graduate of Boston College, man. He worked for CBS Sports, but opened Rainmaker, and just an incredible marketing firm, man, that just doubled everybody's financial efforts.
Yeah,
with some of the biggest names out there in the industry. He just jumped right in, man, and there are some huge things coming. Watch this week, ladies and gentlemen, as this thing explodes and unravels. It's crazy what he's been doing, man.
Yeah, man, a lot of good stuff going on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's just insane, Bub. We're going to be jumping in with Velocity's Paul and Todd here in just a few minutes, Bub, from Everyday Driver. Interesting guests that are going to come in. They've done a real successful thing, man. Great gig. They go out there and they drive these cars, man, and they look for the everyday cars and what gives you the performance and the most bang for the buck, man. It's been real good, man.
You know, and that's I can't wait to talk to the guys, Todd and Paul, because that's something that's truly really fun, especially I would feel like in today's world. You know, I feel like there was a time in the automotive world where none of that really – it didn't really matter. You know, cars were kind of run of the mill for there for a while. And I'm talking like 80s, 90s, you know, those cars were just so basic and just, you know, kind of crap that was rolling across assembly lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now today's cars and today's, you know, world, it's crazy, man. Everything from the performance to the luxury to the features of it. You know, one of the things that one of our main builders and I were talking about the other day was audio. In today's vehicles, you know, what's going to happen to the audio market, the aftermarket audio market,
sure,
in today's world with how fully loaded today's cars are coming? I mean, most cars today aren't even coming with CD players anymore. Definitely not tape players. Those are gone. I mean, think about, like, it went from AM to
FM.
AM, FM, yep, to AM, FM, possibly
eight
with
tracks.
A 8-track, yep, you know, setup. from that to a tape deck to, which, by the way, you remember when those things would like get stuck and then you go to pull it out and then the freaking tape would be all everywhere and then you have to use your pinky finger and stick it in there and spin it and but then you have to rewind it somehow. Oh my God.
I pull it out of the deck and just throw it in the back seat, man.
I just roll the window down and toss it out.
How about that, man?
And throw it into the other guy's car I was driving next to.
How about that?
But it went from that to CDs, from CDs to, man, what was the next one in there? It went to iPods where people would plug them in to now it's going to just straight up Bluetooth where you get near your car and the thing activates. And that's what we were discussing was like, what's going to happen to the aftermarket audio world in terms of the features that today's cars are coming with. And that's what these guys, Todd and Paul, see is, you know, they get to drive a little bit of everything you can possibly imagine.
They're good dudes, man.
And you see those, you see that automotive industry progression as the years go on. And as you go from car to car, from manufacturer to manufacturer, from luxury to base model to performance to, you see all of it.
Yeah, it's crazy too. And I mean, they do it here in the States, they do it over in Europe. I mean, you can see there's pictures of them, you know, they're in some of their shows. If you watch them, they're standing on the side of the road, the snow-capped mountains are in the background, right? That's automatically too cold for me,
for sure. I'll just like push a car right off the top in neutral and just watch it,
just say, now drive that.
That would be my show,
right off the, and then it. I'd say, hey, producer, can we cut? Good morning to our producer Danny, thanks for joining us today, Danny.
Thanks
a lot of good things going on as well from the from inside these broadcast studios, but also from out in the main facility, studio as well. It's going to be an incredible ride, man. You've got some great stuff going on, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, we got a few ideas that we're going to try and be implementing throughout the week that we're going to keep the content coming consistently.
It's going to be crazy.
And
different, whole new approach, right, man?
Trying to keep Bubba's face in everybody's mind at all times.
Hey, listen, it's not a bad face to be in your mind. Trust me.
It's
total stud over
not
here.
Yeah, how about
come on.
That? Hold on 1 second, Bubba. We got a call.
What do you got?
That's right. Anything? Caller, good morning. Welcome to Doing a Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. You're live with us. How are you today?
What do you got?
Good morning, caller. Are you with us there?
Seems like we got a little bit of a
delay.
Lag, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got some lag there. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with us. Are you live?
Yeah, we got nothing.
They've got an open mic, that's for sure, Bob.
Hello.
Check,
can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. Good morning. Who's this?
You're on. You're live.
Hello, this is Paul and Todd.
There you go, Paul and Todd. Good morning from Velocity's Everyday Driver. How are you? And thank you for joining us today, man.
I think we got quite a bit of delay here.
We have a delay.
Yeah.
Yeah, on their side over there. Yeah. How about that? That's kind of strange. Don't you hear yourself? Can you hear us, Paul and Todd, over there?
Yeah, that's a big delay.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Paul, Todd, do me a favor. Hang up and call back in, would you please? Can you guys do that for me? And let's see if we can get around
this. Can you guys hear us?
Yes. Can you hear us, Paul? Can you guys hear us? We can hear you guys over there.
I wonder if they're over in Tokyo testing something right now.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, we can, but there's a massive delay. We'll call you back.
Call us right back. There you go. That's it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stand by. That is Paul and Todd from Everyday Driver. They're going to call us back. There was just a delay. That's all. No big thing, man. That happens. Good morning to Greg out there. Greg, let's talk about this clown for a second, shall we? Tell the whole world about Greg.
Which Greg is this, man?
Our Greg from the gym, man.
Come on, dude.
Yeah. What about him? He's a mess, isn't he?
Yeah.
What about him?
I'll tell you what, though. One of the things I have noticed is he's starting to frequent the gym more often. I've noticed this, but he's also starting to not work out as much when he's there. It's just more of a talk session.
And he's always trying to bother me, man.
And
just
for
leave
some
me
reason,
alone. I'm in my groove.
His shorts are getting shorter and shorter by the day.
Yeah, and you notice what that nothing else ever changes. The shorts just get shorter, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
Right?
That's it.
How about that?
Yeah.
Kind of a disgusting
That's
image,
a good
right?
morning to Greg right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good morning to Greg. How about that, man?
Yeah.
It's like without knowing Greg, I feel like I already know Greg.
Oh, for sure.
Just from that description right there.
Pretty sure someone's going to be seeing junk hanging out of his shorts pretty soon.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
getting
I'm saying.
That short.
Notice that hasn't changed, right, Bub?
It's getting that short.
Bub, and while we're waiting for Paul and Todd to call us back in, one of the things we've had a lot of questions come through at the sales at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com account, a lot of people are asking about voiding of warranties on new vehicles, what things you can do and what things you cannot do to the vehicle itself.
Yeah.
Let's jump in and talk about that if we can for a moment, please.
Yeah, man, you know, it's we've actually had, it's funny you mentioned that, because we have had a lot of, basic, like, initial upgrade questions? You know, like, what are the first things to do? What's the best stuff to do, like, right out of the gate? You know, and that's it's nice in today's world because there's so much available in terms of options and fitments and, you know, finishes and designs and styles and sounds. I mean, anything you can imagine, it is available in today's automotive industry. And it's, you know, one of the main go-to things we get with, you know, and it, I guess it depends on a lot of cars. Here in South Florida, main go-to thing is first thing people want is window tint, right? That's basic. That's a go-to. It's very hot here. The sun is just outright beaming on you. That's always a basic down here. Sometimes that's basic pretty much everywhere throughout the world if people want window tint, but it also goes even deeper than that. A lot of guys come in and they're like, you know, what's, and I guess it depends on the car style, really, I could say. You know, because some guys get trucks, the first thing that they want to do is
lift them up.
Mm-hmm. And there's a style and a cult for everything. Some guys want to get trucks and they want to lower them down. I guess it just depends on where you are and who you are. But here in South Florida, the go-to things are, you know, you get a truck, you immediately put your money into wheels, tires, and a lift. Now, whether you go extreme or whether you go entry level, that's just all about your budget and what you're trying to do. But it's I guess, all about that owner and that style vehicle. You know, you get a brand new Corvette in, you get a brand new Camaro in, a brand new Mustang in. These guys do out of the gate things that they want to do in terms of performance. They're buying a performance car, so they want to do like your basic initial upgrades. They don't want to put thousands into it. They just want to do something fun, something quick out of the box. You can open them up. And that would be something along the lines of direct fit intakes, exhaust systems, and a, you know, a nice handheld tuner to match that. And it gives you a very great broadband power increase, sound increase, performance, reliability. You get it all right out of the box, and it's a very inexpensive, easy upgrade to do.
So, Bob, we're going to jump up. Go ahead. You can open the mic, Mr. Producer. Greg says, wow, you guys live in a glass house. Tom, be careful. I heard a rumor you got a new shirt. I did get a new shirt. You've probably seen that as well, walking around in the gym as well. Greg is referring to he doesn't like my mass muscle hanging out there in the gym itself, Bob.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
So that's what it is. He's just scared, Bob.
Yeah.
Just admit that. Yep. So, Bob, we're going to jump back in there. Let me hold that thought about what we're – where you left off on exhaust and wheel and tire combination upgrades, avoiding warranties. We're going to jump in on this call. Caller, good morning. Are you with us?
Still sounds like we have a delay, too.
We're trying. Hello.
There we go. Paul, can you hear us?
Oof,
that's a strange, that's a long delay.
It's a serious delay there.
Gentlemen, we're only hearing you if we listen to the feed. We're not hearing you back through the line, which is a little odd.
Okay, that's really weird. Hold on 1 second. Let's see if we can make an adjustment here in the studio for you.
I'm looking at the website right now, and there is a specific guest call-in number. Is it possible? Did you use that number?
Yeah,
the 714.
Did you use the 714 number to call in on, Paul? I'm gonna call him on that number. 818.
We did, yes.
Okay. All right. Hold on 1 second. 81203. Let's see. 818. Let's see. I'm not gonna give his number out on the air. 3 5. Can I call you back on this on the number you're calling into the studio on? I'll just call you directly back. Let's see if that removes the delay there. How's that?
Yeah. Call us back. Number. Hopefully that helps us.
I'll call you right back. Stand by, my friend. Hold on. Weird.
Man, that's a serious, serious delay we've got going right now.
I wonder what's going on.
And it's never like that. It's typically maybe, you know, 1 second, maybe 2 second delay sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty hefty delay.
It's a hefty delay, isn't it, Bob? I'm going to call. Let's call him back. Let's get up here on, let's see, we can do, there you go. There you go. You've got it. Producer's got it under control. He's got it. It's the 813 number right there. There we go. So, Bob, anyways, you were saying that in terms of wheels and tires or exhaust, is that a void of the warranty or not a void of the warranty?
You know, that's a great question. It's, you know, it's one that a lot of people have big concerns about and one that a lot of people, you know, sometimes will shy away from just doing those basic upgrades. You know, even though they're very cheap, very inexpensive, you know, a lot of people will just immediately shy away from them because they don't want to spend a lot of money and then have an issue where they voided the warranty on a very expensive car that they may have just purchased.
Yeah.
Leave a message and I'll call you back.
Oh, that didn't work.
Yeah, you're going to have to try that one again there, my friend.
So I'll tell you what, man. It's, you know, one of those, as long as you go out and you do your research and you buy the high quality products, most of these things are going to be fully approved, 50-state emissions-compliant, small-compliant, CARB-compliant, and these things will be...
What about people then, Bub, who take their catalytic converters off and their O2 sensors off to produce more horsepower?
You know, that's a thing as well, but that's not going to pass emissions and inspection in every state.
But
you know,
will it void the manufacturer's warranty?
You know, if they were to see that, then yes. If you were to take something like that, you know, a Catalyst system into a dealership, say, for example, and ask for a warranty, that's going to be something that's going to be a voided warranty because it's a part that should be there and it's not there.
So people can't complain about, hey, you're not fulfilling your dealership warranty when the catalytic converters are missing or the O2 sensors are turned off downstream.
Correct. Yeah. If you wanted to do, say, for example, maybe you wanted to go out and you wanted to put on a, let's say Borla, for example, you wanted to go and throw on a Borla exhaust.
Catback.
Borla sells everything from catback systems, which are everything about it is. And it, again, to not void your warranty, it must be an out of the box bolt on assembly. So it has to be bolt on from the factory mounting points back. So essentially you're removing the factory, you're putting on an aftermarket, all factory hangers or mounts retain, all of the clamps retain. Everything is going to be exactly where it should be, and then it won't void it.
Right on, man. Paul, can you hear me? Did we get rid of our delay there?
Okay.
Can you hear us, Paul? Can you guys hear us down there? Or over there, actually? Strange we're having this delay.
Guys, I'm still waiting to hear something back. I can hear. You might be able to hear me, but I'm still waiting to hear you guys.
Yeah, I can definitely hear you. I absolutely can hear you. We're clear on that. Bob, is the board open for them?
Yep.
Everything's open for them. Mm-hmm. It's not coming out of our end, is it?
No.
That's really strange.
Is the line possibly muted?
Mm-mm. That's strange. So you can hear them on that end.
Yeah, I can hear the feed going through over on that end.
Well,
they can only hear through the stream, it sounds like.
It's a heavy, heavy delay.
The only way we hear you guys is by watching the Facebook feed. We are not getting it back to the phone.
Isn't that strange, man?
Yeah, that's really strange.
Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm.
And everything's open here in the studio, so it might be going through. Any ideas, Mr. Producer?
I'm thinking that there's a delay based on either A, where they are, or B, the type
of... Yeah, as well.
Basically, the situation I'm thinking is it's taking too long to route through and then to go directly to you. So we can either A, call you on the phone and just hold it up to the microphone.
I can do that.
There may be a little bit of a feedback from time to time, so we'll have to monitor the distance. But we can try that route if this isn't going to work out. So,
all right, stand by. We're here. That's exactly how we're going to do that. We're going to get outside of the studio, and we're going to call you directly, and then we'll open up the mic. We can do it that way. It'll be direct. How's that, Paul? Does that work for you guys?
It's going to be a minute before they respond.
Yeah. You want to call them directly from your phone?
Yeah, we could do
that. Go ahead and do that? Okay, go ahead. Let's give them a call that way. Okay, so go ahead and call them that way. Yep, and then we'll bring it in. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we can fix anything. We're around all the problems. That's what we have a producer for. That's what they do. They fix problems. They're out of the box.
So, yeah, man, you know, back to it, you know, until we get these guys back up on the line here with us. Sorry about that delay here. It's pretty rough. But it is something that, you know, when you are doing these aftermarket bolt-ons and upgrades, as long as you are purchasing things that are direct fit, you're not modifying or altering anything on the vehicle, it will most likely 99% of the time be something that does not void warranties, which is great.
Bub, what about things like cold air intakes, for example? And let's talk about what is a cold air intake and why do people add them?
So you naturally have a filtration system on the inlet side of your induction on any sort of automotive application. And there's a filter, there's tubing, there's couplers. There are sealed boxes, and all of these are 50-state legal. They are CARB compliant, and they make the vehicle run exactly how they should. It is tuned to be based off of that intake system. If you do want to get something like improved horsepower, improved performance, torque, and gains, even all the way down to the way the motor performs and sounds, the response of it, all of those are going to be affected by upgrading to either a high flow, a different style made material, of an intake assembly, and it's going to allow more airflow into that motor, and then also you can add more airflow going out of that motor if you are allowing it to come in by doing any number of exhaust modifications, whether it's just a quick axle back exhaust system, a cat back exhaust system, anything like that.
Right on, Bub. Okay, Bub, do we have Paul and Todd on the line? Paul, Todd, can you hear us this morning now, finally?
Yeah, we got hi, guys.
There it is. Good morning, guys. How is everybody, man?
We're good. It's early for us. We're in Park City, Utah, so it's a couple hours earlier for us, but we're glad to be on with you guys.
Hey, nice. Good morning, man. Guys, it's an honor to have you join us here on Doing It Bubba Style, man. And thank you for getting out of bed early and doing that. I apologize for the technical delays coming out of the studio here, guys.
No worry. That happens. That's technology, right?
It is.
Enjoyed seeing that JL on the website there on your yesterday morning's Facebook Live, the green JL.
Oh,
or the JKG.
Thank you very much, man. That actually belongs to one of the Miami Marlins coaches. And Rough Country is kind of co-sponsoring that build, Tyler Grooms and those guys over there. It's kind of real special, man, in the fact that Bub is it's all fabricated by hand, what he's doing there with that vehicle. So it's kind of neat. And the gold accented touches are really, really cool. The way he did it, man. So thank you for the compliment, guys.
This is Paul, by the way, and thanks for the shout-out. And right, I have to tease him a little, your customers a little, because, we're here in Utah, so tell him to drive that thing out here.
Oh, yeah.
Do it for real.
How's the weather, man? I mean, sometimes we see you guys doing, like, comparisons and things like that, standing at the on the roadway, and in the distance there's this snow-capped mountain, and you guys are, like, in short-sleeve shirts and jeans, man. That's scary, bro. I got to tell you.
Well, it depends. I mean, honestly, it's all about a time of year thing. I mean, what's great is up until June, July, we'll have snow on the mountains, but you're standing down there and it's 75 degrees, so it's perfect. The problem is, the only problem, we started the show in L.A. We moved to Utah later. Right. I moved earlier and then Paul followed after a while. But the thing about doing the show in Utah is we get those amazing backdrops. The downside is 5 months out of the year, the best roads are snowed in. They're closed. Yeah. Right.
Snow's a four-letter word, guys.
Yeah, but we like that one. That's one we're willing to embrace. But I hear you. Nice.
So, like, you need to come down to sunny South Florida, man, where 75 is cold. That's what you need to do.
Love it. So, I grew up in the South. I grew up in Texas. This is the reason I moved somewhere with snow. It's like, you know what? I can't do triple digits in the summer anymore. I gotta go. Honestly, it's amazing how many Floridians live in Utah up in the Park City area. I see Florida license tags all the time. I don't know what it is. It's sort of, people here want to be in Florida.
It's crazy.
Be here. I don't know.
It's just because they're old and senile and they're lost.
There you go. They're lost. I like that. Nice. Like I said, sure enjoyed that Jeep build, and I like that you guys are touching just about everything from Mustangs to Audi RS7s to you name it. You know, the different kinds of cars is pretty astounding, and congratulations to you guys for open to those kinds of cars. That's kind of our headspace, too.
Yeah, it is exactly where it is, and that's kind of what separates Bub. You know, his peers consider him amongst the top three out there in the industry today, and that's because he does every piece of his business. He body works it. He mechanically designs it. He every nut and bolt is indexed to go one way. He sews the interior. He paint. He does it all, and it's his deal. And I've watched over the course of 16 years as his dad. And just seeing that flower blossom, and you guys are certainly a success at what you do. You know what it's like to build it from the bottom up and watch that growth. Isn't that an amazing feeling, guys, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, even though we're not builders, we definitely appreciate that. And we're definitely drivers.
We
appreciate the build quality for what you guys do. And yeah, what so many people do. But you're also speaking to building a brand, and that's the big thing we've been doing for about a decade. I mean, we originally shot this show as a half-hour TV pilot back when Speed Channel was around. Like the waning days of Speed Channel.
Right.
And we pitched it in 2008. Of course, if you think about what was going on in the economy in 2008, the conversations were all, we love this show, it's awesome, who are you guys? This is really cool, followed by, nobody's buying anything.
Exactly, because the economy was in the tank, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we wound up on YouTube for a bit, and we've been steadily working our way back toward TV. We're actually working on what will be season 3 on Velocity, which will come out in July.
Congratulations.
And we do feature films every year. And I mean, thank you. We do feature films every year, and we keep trying to give some stuff to YouTube. But the truth is, we're not vloggers, so we've never been a great match for YouTube. And actually, you and I were talking about this the other day, Paul. 4 years ago, we started our podcast. It's now twice a week.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's been a very surprising thing for us to just, that's been the way that we can interact with the audience and help people find the right car for them. Because obviously the TV show is a little more, this is broad for everybody, but we drill into people's specific stories and go, oh, you have that amount of money, that's your life, let's find you a fun car.
Yeah.
Although we've got this 300th episode coming up soon, we're screaming towards it.
Yeah, yeah.
And for every the big 100th podcast milestone, we decided to just take questions from the audience that are not car related. So they ask us about, you know, your lives and what's it like to live in Utah.
It gets weird.
You know, all that kind of stuff. So we kind of shy away from cars, but only for that podcast, every 100 podcast. The rest of the time, as Todd said, we're debating cars for people, which it's so much fun. And I know you guys love being in the studio. We can see you here live here.
Yes.
I'm sure you're enjoying being in the studio as well.
And see, Bub, would you not admit that the focal point of us is not just the quality of what you build, but like Paul and Todd, we introduce people and we welcome people into our lives, man.
Yeah.
And the only problem with that is, Paul, Todd, you know, we've got about 20 million fans internationally. You guys have a huge fan base. What you do touches people's lives. We try to touch people's lives like you guys do. Paul Sr. from Orange County Choppers is the same personality as us. And when you do that, people take advantage of you. They like to slam you. They like to jam you. They like, but you have to just look past those immature people, you know? You're just beyond it.
Well, it's interesting, you know, you spend 10 years posting stuff on YouTube. I used to joke, oh, yeah, put on the hazmat suit to go in and read YouTube comments. I mean, when people are behind a keyboard, they can say lots of stuff. But, I mean, we try really hard to be careful about how people know us. And at this point, they trust us. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's different, too, like when we take the BEM Porsches out to the racetrack and we run those cars, it's very different when you have those Gs pushing your body around, especially in the European cars. As you guys know, the European cars are designed to rally. They're designed to do different things than some of the American platforms, right?
And, oh, yeah, sure.
You know, like for example, the Mercedes-Benz with the what do they call the seats that what do we have in our Mercedes? I'm drawing a blank right now. Where the seats literally encompass you as you go around the corner.
Yeah,
the active side bolsters. Okay, mm-hmm. When you're dealing with things like that, you realize the difference between the car manufacturers and the, you know, the different styles that they build. But when you're out on the track getting pounded like that, trying to read that vehicle and understand what it's telling you back, it's very different than sitting behind a keyboard and beating somebody up, wouldn't you say?
Sure. Well, a crazy question for you guys here. We get so much conversation from fans about, you know, ideal car builds or ideal aspects of cars that we would love to see, the handling from that car, the mm-hmm. engine from this car,
or the Frankenstein car question,
that thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a Porsche guy. I would love to see modern Porsche running gear in a Porsche 928, you know, with the PDK and, you know, more power, that kind of thing. What are builds that you guys are thinking about that, you know, I know you're primarily customer-driven, and so they bring their cars to you. Do you guys have any time to work on your own kind of fantasy Frankenstein build?
So
Todd
Bub
wants a Corvette engine and an FRS, by the way.
Yes, I do.
Oh, we can do that. We can do, Bub can do anything. Bub, first of all, before you answer the question, because you're the technical guy, one of the things we just heard our guest from Everyday Driver, Paul and Todd, say, they use the term PDK.
Yeah.
What is PDK, please?
Well, if I try to say it, it's not going to come out right, but it's like a poffle, hoffle, doffle, loffle, confidlin.
It's close to that. Well,
it's very close.
My German isn't good, but that's close.
7-speed automatic, absolute beast of a transmission, man. It's something that Porsche's designed and has been around for quite a few years already. But it's just improving as we go forward, man. And it's one. I feel like that's one of those transmissions where, up until that point, if you were ever a manual transmission specific kind of person, you would only want a manual transmission. I feel like until you've gotten into a car that's been, you know, connected to a PDK style automatic transmission, if you haven't felt that feeling, it may totally change your output on ever buying a manual transmission car again.
And one of the things, Bub, when you designed and built the car we took a first place with at SEMA this year, you were looking at the automatic transmissions with that Mustang versus the manual transmissions, and you went with the manual transmission on that application, although today you tend to shy away from them.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible, man. Today's everything about today's technology and vehicles, which I'm sure, Paul, Todd, you guys see this all the time, you know, just day by day as new vehicles come out and new features come out and new items come out and engines and performance and drivetrain and the handling characteristics and the braking of these things and the luxury of them. I mean, vehicles that just continually roll off the manufacturer assembly lines nowadays are just getting almost jaw-dropping incredible. And it's starting to be a tough war, man, because it's one where no matter what you're buying, you're starting to get what you're paying for, and you're not really missing one thing or another. You know, you go and you buy a brand new Porsche, you're going to get a car that's very well balanced all around. It's going to have the extreme styling, it's going to have the looks, it's going to have pretty nice luxury inside. Now, it's not luxury of any sort of Mercedes-Benz AMG class, but it's going to be, you know, a very nice luxury fitted car, but it's also going to be very well balanced in its performance. It's braking, it's handling, and it's just going to be an all-around fun car. Then you get into stuff like the Mercedes side where you're getting a lot of that same stuff, but more of the luxury features to it. So it's, you know, a little bit of today's cars. Every one of them has something special to offer.
Before we jump in, I want to jump into the second part of that question. Thank you for explaining that technically to us. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Outlaw Boutique. The moose is loose online, missoutlawboutique.com. Everyday driver, man. Guys, you got to support this show. Go out there and watch Paul and Todd out there on Velocity and their podcast. I got a question about their podcasts as well. And Rainbow Marketing, man. Thank you, Brian, for all you do for us. But second question, part of that question is, Paul and Todd were wondering, what kind of Frankenstein projects do you do? You're a very harmonious, everything has to be synchronized, you know, must fit, mm-hmm. must run mm-hmm. smooth, must drive like it came out of the factory builder. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk, share with them kind of your ideas from a Frankenstein standpoint.
You know, that's a really good question. So to answer the first part of your question, no, I have zero time to do with anything that I want to do on personal rides. That's just plain and simple. I'm actually doing a design right now on another Jeep JK. I might go down, literally thinking about my, you know, possibly going down and picking up a new Jeep JL. Those things are just blowing up the market right now.
I don't know. We just drove one in Moab. It was really cool.
Really cool, man. We'll talk about that here in a second, then, because we just finished one. 2 days ago. So, you know, I'm thinking about doing something like that. I've got a Jeep JK in the works that I personally own right now, that I'm going to go pretty intense on this thing, man. It's, right now it's kind of like a really aggressive, you know, South Florida street queen is what we kind of consider it down here, man. There's a lot of these lifted trucks looking big, looking bulky, but none of these things go off road down here. They're just really, they look seriously tough, and they're always valetable that clean.
We invite them out to Utah. There's lots of rocks and dirt out here, so yeah, come on out.
That's it. And see, it's crazy. It's so funny because we've got a place here locally, guys. It's called Corbett, and it is maybe 10 miles west of us, and we're a mile off the water here. And okay. You know, when you go out west, there's over 100 acres of nothing more than it's totally different than, you know, over in the Utah scene where, you know, we talked about this the other day with some of the guys at Rough Country, actually. The off-road scene is, even though it's still off-road, it is two totally different things. Like here, Corbett is a spot where you go and you are going into 3 and 4 and 5 and sometimes upwards of 8 feet of just swamp, disgusting mud that you're 60% chance you're leaving your ride there. Like, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
So plan to leave it there. But out, you know, out in Utah, you guys have a lot of like the dry, more rocky, heavy off-roading, you know, super articulating rock crawling stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that there's just even though it's considered, you know, quote unquote off-roading, it's two totally different styles of off-roading. Here, probably going to leave your crap out there.
Yeah, you will too. Good morning, McKinley. Good morning, McKinley.
You have to define off-roading and, you know, what your customers are going to do. And I'm sure that's in your mind when you're doing the build.
Yes,
it really is. Yeah, it is. Good morning to Kenny Letsum out there, our partner there from American Racing Wheels. Kenny, thank you for being such an integral part of the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family and all your support as a partner over the years.
Yeah.
Hey, Bub, one of the things I want to talk to Paul and Todd about is we do live in South Florida. There is a ton of money here.
Mm-hmm.
This is where all the celebrities live. This is where Tiger Woods and everybody lives here. In this area, Paul and Todd, we have a lot of exotics. That's what you see on the roads here. Maseratis, mm-hmm. Ferraris, a larger collection of those cars, you know, driven on a daily basis than anywhere in the world. When it comes to these kinds of cars, what are your thoughts about the exotics, the Ferraris, the Porsches, the Maseratis, the Rolls Royces, the Bentleys? Talk about that a little bit. Share your thoughts and experiences and your drive time with those with us.
Glad you asked. There's actually quite a few exotics in Utah, surprising us and surprising a lot of people. We had the Gold Rush Rally come through mm-hmm. last year and came through the Montage Hotel. A lot of people, you know, came out of the woodwork, you know, McLarens, Lamborghinis, doors up, you got to be cool, cruising up the mountain road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting, but there's a lot here, actually. There's a surprising amount of money in Utah and a lot of unicorn companies.
Yes.
To my understanding, there's 8 companies valued at $1 billion or more, and there's a lot of folks in the software industry that have the money to be able to support that kind of lifestyle and those kind of cars. But unlike a place like Florida or even LA where we started the show, because of that 5 months of winter, you think, if you move here in the winter, you think, there's no car people here at all. And then dry springtime, you go,
they're coming out.
There's one of those, and there's one of those. I mean, everywhere, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But back to your question, and that is, obviously, as the name of the show suggests, Everyday Driver, we're trying to find people stuff generally under about 60 grand that they could get into. Now, that could be a used 60 grand. I mean, like, Aston Martin Vantages are cheap.
I mean, if we do say, if a McLaren 720 is your everyday driver, we embrace that.
Yes. We want you driving whatever your fun car is as much as possible.
Yes, that's the theme of the show.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, you know, those crazy exotics, my only real problem that I have with them, because, and you mentioned earlier, Bubba, you talked about how broad people's cars are now.
Yes.
You had the old world of the Countach, where you were driving a Countach, but you accepted all of the problems.
Exactly,
well,
yes.
We want the exotic car, but we don't want any of the problems. We want it to be luxurious, have cooled seats, and all the stuff that it never used to have, it has to have now. So I think it's interesting that the exotics have become so broad. You can get, I'm a small mid-engine car guy. I daily a Lotus Elise. This is how nuts I am.
Okay. Interesting.
But solar yellow Lotus Elise. Yes. But the thing is, the only real issue I have with exotics now is I don't like the Ferrari approach of you must be on a list and you have to have had five cars to get this car.
Yeah.
My feeling is if you happen to be blessed enough to have the money to get it, you should be able to walk into a dealer and go, I want that one.
I like the way he said that, Bub. If you happen to have the money and you're blessed enough to have it.
Yeah.
How about that, man?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, definitely.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to see those cars here, of course. I mean, we love the exotics. We love seeing them. As a matter of fact, there's quite a few car shows and various events that pop up all summer and fall. And what we are a part of is the Park City Car Club here in Utah, and they organize drives. So, of course, we don't love to see the garage queen kind of Ferraris, and we're not into cruising. We want to see those people using their cars and going for
hopefully.
Matter of fact, the drive organized just this weekend. It's a two-day drive with the car club, and people get out and go look at some beautiful scenery, enjoy some amazing roads, and you know all that kind of stuff. Just take it all in and use the cars for what they're designed to do. Because so many times, as you probably note, in my opinion, people aren't using those cars for their intention. And I have gone to the Lamborghini factory, and I've noted that all the people there are like family.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
Producing these cars.
That's right.
The people who build them are the opposite of the people who buy them.
That's right.
Yes.
They're the nicest, most gracious, welcoming people, and they're like this tight-knit family, and they just happen to be building this incredible product that are the opposite kind of mindset of the people who buy them.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy too, Bub? Because you and I have had this conversation, Bub, before, and then kind of to Todd and Paul's point, you and I, and we've talked about this with Porsche. Most people, like me, my Porsche sits. There's only 10,000 miles on that car, and it's 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is the same way. It's not a daily. And Porsche has now...
I've been dailying the crap out of that sucker lately.
The last couple of weeks you have, yes.
Hey, I'm getting my money's worth out of that boy.
Good for you.
But you know, Paul, what we're seeing is Porsche is now putting out a calling saying, we don't want our cars sitting in people's garage. Mm-hmm. We want them out. And they're putting it in writing, and they're making a public cry that they want these Porsches out of the garages and on the streets.
Yeah, they brought the manual transmission back for the new GT3, too, to try to get away from the speculative buying that everybody was doing with that 911R.
Yep.
So talk about that, Bub, a little bit.
So, that's something I kind of want to hit on real quick. And have you guys had a chance to drive the brand new 911R?
Unfortunately, no. That has not worked out. We did a film a few years back called 50 Years of the 911.
Yes.
As the name suggests, we drove all the generations of the 911 up through the current GT3.
Yes. Yep, remember that.
But we haven't done the 911R. Now, we've seen two in Park City. This is where we have to kind of root things out. We've seen two in Park City. We just haven't connected to that owner yet, but would love to. Now, we've driven the current GT3 with the PDK.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul said, I think it's fascinating that they brought the manual back just to undercut the speculative guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Hmm. Interesting. What do you think, Bub?
You know, it's okay. So I watched something on, and this was, we actually discussed it a little bit on one of our Monday and Friday lives that we did. What I had watched was, I'm sure you may know Chris from Top Gear.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was doing a comparison on the 911R, And one of the things that he had mentioned, I was literally at the point of just 2 weeks ago, right before I had watched this, because I haven't driven personally yet a 911R, I was at the point of taking my Carrera S and trading it in. It's a 2015. It's not old. It's not, you know, nothing wrong, nothing, no issues at all. But I've had my fun with it. I bought it in 15. I've had my fun with it. I'm ready to do something else. And I love the looks and the styling of the 911R. And I started just, you know, doing natural reviews before I went down and pulled the trigger on it. And one of the things that Chris had mentioned was that was probably one of his biggest disappointments for how much the car had been pushed in terms of, you know, a marketing and social media standpoint about this big beast, this animal that's coming out. He wasn't blown away with it. He just felt like he was driving another Porsche.
Well, but this is the problem, unfortunately, with the speculative thing, and the 911R is the perfect example. But, you know, if you have a car, we talk about value all the time.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And the problem is, if the car was, let's just say, $150,000 to buy it.
Correct.
But now, because everybody's reselling it, it's $250,000. Now you're genuinely competing against $250,000 cars.
Yes, you are.
Do you want that 911R, or do you want to go buy this McLaren over here?
Right.
Look, I'm buying a McLaren now. I mean, that's
right.
A real problem. And we drove the Civic Type R recently,
mm-hmm.
and we were very impressed. We actually, part of Season 3, it was really cool to drive that against the Focus RS. But
yep.
One of the discussions we had, we're not spoiling anything here, but one of the discussions we had is the fact that there's people out there selling the Civic Type R for $55,000. I'm sorry, but at $55,000, I'm not buying a Civic Type R.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct. I agree.
Okay, so why do you agree, Bob?
Well, you know, it's I feel like when and I think that this comes from a true driver. You know, there are people that just buy cars and they drive them that there's no mental or physical connection. It's just a car that they get in, they know how to start, and they drive it. But I also feel like there are people like ourselves, like Todd and Paul, that when you get into a car, you know how to feel with every sense in your body what's going on. You connect with that ride.
Yes,
you connect
do.
In terms of like your toes on the pedals, responsiveness.
Wait,
of
my
it,
toes the, are usually on the steering wheel
and on the gas pedal, typically never a brake. You know, but you can feel what that car is doing. You can feel as you approach a corner, you can feel the response coming out of a, you know, coming off of a stoplight, or maybe, you know, going through a track corner, or whatever it is you may be doing. You have a way of connecting and being like, oh, you know what, I think that this feels really good. Or I think, oh, you know, this car feels like it's got a lot of power, but it's, I can't plant this power properly, or I'm going to overpush it. You know, sometimes you feel that there's a disconnect somewhere along the way, and that comes from a true driver. So when you have those style emotions and connections to a vehicle, whatever it may be, you can then associate, you know, comparisons from experience, and then also put values to it, you know, and you can understand that when you get into a car that maybe has a price tag of $60,000 on it, like these guys are saying, $55,000, you may drive it and you may be like, okay, it's, you know, it's an all around pretty solid setup, but I feel like if I had the money in my bank account and I had a stack of cash in my pocket and I was going to go buy, I think I'd probably only throw 40 at this car, because
sure.
you've driven rides in that ballpark, in that range, and you know what the comparisons are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're exactly touching on what the brand Everyday Driver is about, and we're looking for those kinds of cars, that experience that you're describing, for all of our listeners and our fans of the show. So we're trying to, you know, find that in the $15,000 price category.
Right.
Because just because it's a McLaren or an exotic car, that doesn't mean it's the best driving experience ever. Now,
correct.
At that level, yes.
It probably is.
Let's hope it is. But that's what you're paying for. But the point is, we're looking for that in every price category. And, you know, people with kids, and, you know, you might only have $25,000 to spend. So
right.
How can I get that feeling you're describing?
Right.
Only at a $25,000 price point. That's,
right.
That's where the sweet spot for our podcast is.
But and that's part of it. Good morning to the beautiful Robin, my bride. She's out there watching,
you know,
as well.
And I think that's great too, because it's that's something, especially, and again, this kind of, you know, doubles back to today's vehicles and today's technology. What you're getting, you know, it's everybody's starting to have such high quality in their vehicles that the numbers are, to me, and this is my personal opinion, I feel today's automobile prices are starting to get a little bit out of hand.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
I
you know, I understand, you know, what goes into it, especially from a design and build standpoint and what it takes to produce these things. But I also feel like you're starting to get outside of an average income and budget, something that somebody can buy, something that's, you know, fairly nice, that gives you a little bit of everything. For example, daily drivers. You know, for a daily driver like me, if I wanted to go buy a brand new Tahoe right now and just drive around with a four-door SUV that's maybe got five seats, not even like a seven-row seating Suburban, I wouldn't want to go and dump 75 grand on it. If I was going to spend 75 grand, I'll probably go buy like a Z06 Corvette and have some fun. I would want to, I'd want to be more in like that 40, 45 range and just turn the key and go cruising. If it gets a freaking scratch, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And one of the
That's great.
And one of the things, you know, I'm looking at as well is I'd like to add an SUV to my fleet. And I am contemplating, do I do a used Escalade or do I do a new Escalade? I went to the Cadillac dealer, I want to say 2 weeks ago, and they had one. And I'm a fan of the pearl white with the black interior. I think those are a good color. Me personally, or I like black on black. Guys, it was $100,000, $106,000 for that new Escalade sitting on the floor. I just can't justify that.
Yeah, it's insane. You guys are absolutely right. I mean, I've seen those at the auto shows too, because my wife's a truck girl, and so she we had a Yukon years ago.
Yep.
And I look at the prices now, and I just think, wait. Mm-hmm. This will be somebody's six-figure car. How on earth did that happen?
Yep.
And that's the reason that one of the discussions we have all the time is we talk to people about used cars.
Yes.
Because there's so much you can get for your money, especially if it doesn't have to be, I have to be the only owner, and I have to have a warranty, but you want to have a great car. I'll go back to the Lotus that I drive.
Right.
It's hysterical to me that I can drive a Lotus Elise and put it at a car show and have people stand around it. And I'm sitting here going, you realize the cars on either side cost 10 times what this did because I spent 30 grand on a Lotus. It's cool and I love it. Mm-hmm. But I spent 30 grand on it because I can't, nor do I want to spend 60 on a car that is so focused.
Right on. Right. Exactly. And I found, just ironically, last night I stumbled across, I wanted to open my horizon. Like Bub, I don't like my cars used and I don't like my firearms used. It's just the fact, right?
Fair enough.
I've been having that great mental debate. I literally stumbled across a Pearl White Suburban LTZ, 7-passenger. 60,000 miles on it, $25,900 before you even go into negotiating with the complete clean Carfax. You know the LTZ is the loaded up vehicle. Why not buy something that's 2 years old? Christ, it's already taken the depreciation, and I can't justify a $70,000 swing.
You're answering the question, guys, and that is, you know, like you watch the celebrity chef shows, and then what does that celebrity chef go home and cook for himself or herself?
He goes to drive-thru.
It's a cheeseburger.
Yeah, he goes to the drive-thru at McDonald's and orders a shake.
Exactly. So what do you guys, you know, you're answering the question, you know, to that question. What do you celebrity car builders drive? What do they go aspire to? Is it the ultimate build? Maybe not.
No, it's not.
I'd love to hear that you're using your money wisely and spending well and still getting that enjoyment.
I use the family hauler. I don't have to get for the family hauler. It's gonna get Cheetos in it. Let's move on.
I'll tell you, it's funny too. By the way, good morning to Mickey Miller, who says my brand new K5 Blazer in 77 cost $3,700.
Now, let me touch on that real quick, because I saw that come through, right? So let's just talk on that for a second here. So, Paul Todd, this past weekend, 2 weekends ago maybe, yes, 2 weekends ago, I don't want to mess that up, we had Barrett Jackson of Palm Beach here, right? So just a couple miles south of us.
Oh, yeah, I was watching some of that.
I'll tell you what, from a classic car world, did you see the numbers on the K5 Blazers, bro? These things were pushing everything from 42 up to, there was one that went across a block that was all modern LS. It was an LS6 GM performance package. 117 grand on a K5 Blazer out of the 70s. So these things throwing serious numbers.
And we VIP'd the tents. We went through the Staloopy collection. Are you guys familiar with the Staloopy collection, Paul and Todd? You guys familiar with that?
No, where is that located?
Okay, so John Staloopy, down here in South Florida, we have warehouses and warehouses and warehouses of wealthy people.
Just freaking everywhere,
yeah,
man.
They're on every corner. They're everywhere, right? And people just rent warehouses. Well, John Staloopy is a self-made multimillionaire who started out, his father bought him a gas station up in New York at the age of 16, okay? Today, look up John Staloopy, S-T-A-L-U-P-P-I, Staloopy, okay?
Staloopy, got it. All right.
So he purchased, you know, Kmart went out of business, and he purchased a Kmart. And each year he would retheme it. So 1 year it was Asbury Park. Last year I think it was 1970s disco or something, mm-hmm. right, Bub? Mm-hmm. And he themed the cars accordingly. And this year he had about 50 cars run across the auction block, to include, you'll remember the sale of the Volkswagen, the green Volkswagen microbus from the 70s show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that came out of his collection, as did the other microbuses, as did the Herbie the Love Bug VW. Remember that one went across?
Oh, interesting, yeah. Okay.
And that was ironically bought by one of the big developers here who are one of our clients. So this whole collection, and it's stellar, the quality of money he put in. He's not a cheap guy, right? He's not a cheap guy. But the quality of some of these cars back in those days was – I mean, you cannot beat the chrome and the – okay, I know today's cars are safe, man. I get it, all right? But the chrome and the length and the DeSotos and the badging, oh, my God, guys. Tell me about it.
Oh, wow. We just found the images online here, and the collection looks absolutely astounding.
Isn't that cool, guys?
Corvettes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's what we have here in South Florida.
Any of those cars come through the shop at all?
Yes.
Any maintenance or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, the owner that bought those pieces, he also bought a baby blue Jolly that's in John's collection. And all of those cars were over in their warehouse here, very local. And we were with them this week. In fact, Bub's got two of his pieces. The new owner's pieces in the facility now. I think they're Bel Airs, right, Bob? You've got a 56 and 57.
Bel Air and a Mach 1. Yeah.
Bel Air and a Mach 1.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing you want to do, guys, you know that having a carbureted application, 90% of your overheating problems in carbureted cars is carburation related, you know? And these are, of course, air cooled cars. Well, South Florida is not exactly a very cool environment.
So, what are you saying?
Yeah.
So don't start these Volkswagens and let them sit and
yeah,
run.
Yeah, don't let them run, right? Get them down to Bub, let them look at them, make sure that they're right before you lock
when
up
that
a motor.
Starts sounding like popcorn in the back, something's going on.
Good morning to Mark Hoffman up there in Hagerstown, Maryland area. He is the BEM Dirt Track driver. Good morning, Mark. How are you? And good morning to the guys, Paul and Todd from Everyday Driver. Mark, they're with us as well. So, you know, it's just if you look at some of these vintage cars, to your point, guys, there's no reason you can't go back and own these things, especially with today's. Bub does a lot of – he's got a 79 Trans Am in here, LSX 454 conversion, Bub, and all late modern components. So things look like the day it rolled off the showroom floor.
Yeah.
But it's got every bit of performance, 750 horsepower you're laying down with mm-hmm. that thing, Bub, and it runs because everything Bub builds, Paul and Todd, has to run like it came out of the factory. No rough shifting, no loud noise. He doesn't like it. It's just got to be smooth and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like how all of his cars are photographed sort of in a diorama, context, only it's in the museum here. That's crazy.
Yeah, yes. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it's really cool. The museum's very cool, isn't it?
Yeah, very very much so. You know, I actually think it's interesting to watch. You were mentioning earlier, Bubba, that what all those Blazers are selling for. It's amazing how much nostalgia drives up the price.
Yes.
I can't get one of those right now. I remember when. Wouldn't it be nice to have that? But with all the interior stuff I could get now.
Yep,
sure,
right.
You already did it for me. Wait, let me write you a check. And it gets not. Well, you should tell the story about your dad's Jag E-Type when you were growing up and the smells and, you know, all that kind of stuff associated with it. And nobody thought. Yeah, my dad had an E-Type that he sold. But he was slowly doing, well, I'll be honest, a marginal restoration of it when I was growing up. He sold it when I was 12. I have a visual memory of it driving, realizing I'm never going to get to drive that car. He sold it for like $12,000 or $15,000. Pains me. Like, by the time I was driving, they were already $40,000. And now, best of luck finding one that is nice for anywhere under 80. And the good ones are like 160.
Yep, that's right.
And I'm just... So forget the fact that my father clearly didn't hang on to it long enough. Forget that. I didn't get to drive it. But nostalgia is amazing what it does to all these car prices.
Yeah. Incredible.
Man,
incredible. And that's one of the things that as much as we do in terms of modern performance and high ends and on-road off-road, we also have a very very select group of clients that we build pro tourings and resto mods for.
Tell them about one of your clients that's having a Nomad build. Tell them that story.
Yeah, and I mean in terms of in terms of the vintage, the nostalgia stuff that people love the cars for, there's just the straight out looks of it. You know, maybe it's they love it for the lines, they love it for maybe there's a sentimental value attached to it from 40 years ago or something like that, or they grew up and their parents had one or whatever it may be. Very similar situation with like a Jag style. You grow up and you're seeing this car, so naturally you've got this vision of it in your mind, and you always want one. But we do, a very select group of clients we build these things for that are very much to the T of how they should look, but all completely 100% modern drivetrain, engines, transmissions, braking systems, electronics, audio, I mean, everything you can imagine. So when you get into them, you feel like you're stepping back into time, but you are doing it in a way that is safe, it's fun, it's reliable, it's fuel efficient, it's powerful, it's responsive, and that makes it so much more fun.
It really does.
And the prices of those right now, at least in the South Florida market, are outrageous. I mean, we are getting north of $200, $250, $300 on some of these cars, depending on how far these clients want to go.
That's an incredible amount. Guys, what would you say your percentage of business is doing track prepped cars or things designed for not just racing, but just, you know, hey, driver events, you know, doing some track prep stuff versus, you know, more of the streetable canyon runs or just, you know, straight up, you know, high speed kind of stuff?
Interesting question, because we are tech inspectors for the local track here. I would say, Bub, maybe 10%.
That's what I was going to go with, like 10%. Yeah, we've got a, you know, also a very select group of actually a couple celebrity clients that own a few race teams as well on the side, and we do a lot of we do it, and it's just kind of like one of their investment projects that they have to do. So we have a lot of fun with that, and we back it. We actually keep their celebrity name out of it. Nobody wants. Or that they at least they don't want the public to know that they own the team. So, you know, it's crazy because and it's funny because the reason for that is a lot of guys, when you get, you know, you go out to tracks, it's competition, you know, whether you're on the road course, whether you're on a straight line, whether you're doing mud bogs, whatever it is, anytime you're doing that stuff, you're competing. Obviously, it's for money. And there are a lot of people who go out there and they put their all into this stuff. But when they understand or they know, oh, I'm getting ready to go up against X, this person, and it's owned by X, this person, there's probably a lot of money put into that project, right? So it almost can scare people off, and that's why these celebrity clients like to keep their names just hidden on the fact that they own race teams, because they don't want people to just walk away, you know, understanding the risk that they're getting into something that's probably pretty solid.
That money's standing behind it. Yep, that money is definitely standing behind it. So, and the other thing is too, Bob. For example, on this one particular Nomad that you build this gentleman's fleet, he's got this one that's outsourced. He started up in the Canada area. They're north. In fact, Bob had me pull the client aside last week and sit down and counsel him because the gentleman has residence there, Texas here. We oversee his collection here, and they're into him for about $300,000 right now on a 55 Nomad wagon restoration. And, you know, that's got like an Art Morrison chassis under it and, you know, a nice upgraded interior. So, but you shouldn't be driving the price that far northward. It's just not fair to the client, man. It's just not, guys.
It's so cool to watch those options, and I keep learning little tidbits every time.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where you think you know stuff, and then you don't. And the announcer says, "Oh, you don't. Did you know this year only came with that little trim feature and this little thing?"
Yes.
Well, you're kidding me. Yeah. I learned more stuff, which is so great. Well, we're getting more into the track driving thing, and, you know, Todd and I have this pilgrimage trip every year. We go to Germany and Belgium to go to the Nordschleife, the Nürburgring, and
the Nürburgring. Yep.
So we love going there, and we've ended up, after a film in 2015, people are now going with us. So we put together this pilgrimage adventure, and people, fans of the show, are going with us. And so we're putting them in cars on the track all day long with pro drivers if they want them for track suggestion. And
we highly recommend the instructor.
And so now our joke going over there is, you know, did we miss the 911 GT3 dispenser? There's got to be a machine around here somewhere, because we see them everywhere. You live in a hovel.
Yeah.
With a hot plate, but you have your 911 GT3 outside as you go to the track.
Absolutely.
It's like 150 people that live there year round. I'm not kidding. It's a tiny, tiny little town in Harbor. But almost every little door has a GT3 outside of it. What are you people doing for a living? Where did I miss this order? All my money, I live in a hut. Hey, I pitched a tent.
But you like my GT3.
But I got my GT3. We're doing it, right?
That's so
funny. You see the same kind of thing in South Florida. Did I miss the machine dispensing the Mercedes?
Yes.
Whatever.
Oh, they're all over here. Yeah, they're all those kinds of cars. You know, the Mercedes, the Porsches, BMWs, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Rolls Royce. Those here are like your more densely packed areas in New York are with Toyotas and Hondas kind of thing.
Sure. Wow.
It's crazy. It really is. Graves, we're coming right up on the top of the hour here. Let me ask you, this number that we called you back on, is that one of your cell phone numbers? Yes, no?
Yes, that's a personal cell, yes.
Okay, I'm going to text you mine and Bub's personal contact information as well, guys, if that's okay.
Fantastic.
But I don't want to release that
information. Thank you.
I do not want to lose touch with you guys. You are wonderful guys. We have followed your career. We love what you're doing.
Love it.
We love, love, love you guys. We are honored that you took the time to come and spend some time with us today on the air.
Well, you guys are great. Thank you for your hospitality. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We might have to put these guys in a bunch of custom design BEM Rise and do a full show on.
That's what I'm thinking.
Just let it rip.
I'd love to come film some cars.
Okay.
I'm always up for that.
There we go. So that's why I'll make sure I've got, I'll send everybody.
We'll do it. We'll
contact
set something
information.
Up front, yeah.
Yeah. When we get off the air, I'll have my producer also do it. By the way, guys, let's tell everybody when the show airs on Velocity and both podcasts. I think one is recorded and then broadcast later on. Give me the times and dates, please.
Well, the podcasts are, obviously, it's podcasting, so you can grab it at any time, but they drop down Tuesday mornings and Friday mornings every week. So Tuesday and Friday of every week is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. The TV show is happening about every other quarter right now. We just finished first quarter of the year. We'll be back third quarter of the year, starting first week of July. That'll be Saturday mornings, going for 13 weeks. It's on early, so we recommend people set their DVR, but it's like 7:30 Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you do the math. It can be pretty early, but this is why DVRs rock. Hey,
that's
we love the DVR thing.
We
do. A quick plug again for that pilgrimage trip as well. So if you want to go with us, it's the first weekend of August. Yeah, all the information is on the website, everydaydriver.com, adventures, and go there, and there's a frequently asked questions, come with us, drive track stuff. We're going to the Porsche and Mercedes museums in Stuttgart this year.
Right on.
Lots of Autobahn driving. It's just, from the time we pick you up in Frankfurt to the time we drop you off, you're going to be exhausted, as you can tell, driving.
Paul is not excited at all.
I'm so excited. I've had a lot of coffee.
It's going to be cool. By the way, we're doing the restoration on the president of the PGA's BMW here. It's a 74 2002. That car is being followed so closely that the BMW museum in Munich is featuring pictures of that, guys. It's a pretty cool build, man.
Oh, that's cool. Beautiful
really cool.
Stuff.
Super, super
guys,
cool.
Can't thank you enough.
Can't really, thank you guys enough, man. Hey, man, and how blessed are we to be over on Podcast One, man, huh? What an honor,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great platform.
Those guys are amazing. Yep. Paul, Todd, we love you guys, man. Thank you very much. I'll reach out here shortly, text you over that information. Thanks for being part of the BEM family, guys.
Glad to be on. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thanks so much. Later on. There they are, Bub. Paul and Todd from Everyday Driver, Velocity's hit TV show and Podcast One's very successful.
Yeah, we'll have a good future with them. I feel like there's a trip to Stuttgart in the near future here.
How about Reckgart?
Probably going to be Reckgart for you.
Yep.
We'll send over a couple of the BEM rides, and we'll get out there and compare some of these stock mass production to some fine-tuned BEM Porsches.
Right on, man.
Have some fun.
Paul and Todd, thank you so very much for joining us here. This episode, ladies and gentlemen, has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Congratulations to the BEM Dirt Track driver. BEM number 88 took the win in the Strictly Stock last night. Again, Bub, he's going to tear it up this year.
That's right.
Right on, man. Mark, congratulations, man. We love you to death, man. You're a good dude, man. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. The new online is Outlaw Boutique. That's outlawboutique.com shopper. It's all new, man. It's better pricing and it's more product. Pretty crazy what's going on over there, Bub. Rainbow Marketing, man, for the very best in all your marketing needs. It is Rainbow Marketing. I know Brian and the guys over there, man, they just tear it up. They do a great job. They're very aggressive. Reach out to them. 716-435-6402. That's 716-435-6402. Ladies and gentlemen, until Monday, Bub.
Just keep doing it Bubba style.
This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. Doing it Bubba style is the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Let's open the door for somebody whose hands are full or is elderly. Let's pay tribute to all of our vets out there if we could, please. Let's take care of those beautiful animals that are in part of our lives, right? And if somebody's hungry standing there on the corner with a sign that says, hungry, we'll work for food, reach in your pocket there and go right across the street, man. Grab them a protein bar and a power mix or something like that, man. Get them fed, man. Let's take care of people out there today. Until Monday, ladies and gentlemen, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Let's keep on doing it, Bubba style.